society is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Won't stand still.
Your story is my story.
Buckle up, buttercups. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz. I am one of your hosts today. Joining me shortly will be my co-host, Donna. And then joining a little later in the program, Maria will be here with us. And Amina has work conflicts, so we're hoping she can get those worked out. But for right now, you're stuck with me until somebody else gets here. Big week out there. People talking about Mitch McConnell's replacement. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see Marjorie Taylor Greene or some other fringe person try to get into the role. If you want to talk to us this morning, give us a call, 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj@wmnf.org. So, Mitch McConnell, I mean, do we think he's going to disappear, or is he going to stick around and continue to wreak havoc wherever he goes? What do you think? We're also going to be talking about other things going on around the world, particularly, and this is totally Donna's wheelhouse, but particularly the situation in Gaza and with the Palestinians just still being massacred is the best way I can think of to say it, because you're dealing with people who are dispossessed. They have no water, no food. They are being herded further and further away from everybody else. And so it's, here comes somebody saying Mitch McConnell is 82. He should go home and retire. Yeah, well, that's not, he's going to go the way of Dianne Feinstein, I think. You know, they'll be wheeling him in on a dolly. So anyway, getting back to Palestine, I'm sure that everybody has heard the story of the young airman who set himself on fire and in protest at the Israeli consulate. And it's disturbing. I can remember as a child, this is pre-internet days, I can remember going to visit my grandmother, and my grandmother had all like the life yearbooks or whatever. And so I would read through those. And one of the images that always was like a stake through the heart was of a monk who had self-immolated back in the 60s, I guess. And so it's it's really, really just, I have no words. Donna has a lot of words, so she'll be here in a second to give you all the words. Just got an email from David. Hi, ladies. I had an idea. It would be funny for April Fools to exchange the name, or to change the name of the show to Shirley Voices and have all of the hosts and guests share the name Shirley for the day. Just offering a deep thought. Hee hee, David. Thanks, David. I'll have to discuss that with the other hosts and see what we want to do about that. That does give me very, very good ideas, though. And here is Miss Davis coming in. But David, our show is not on April Fool's Day, so we'll have to wait until April Fool's falls on one of our show days, then we'll do it. I don't know how many years we've got to go till that happens. But anyway, back to Aaron Bushnell. This is something that Donna and I were talking about yesterday, and she Donna will get up on her soapbox about this, and so I said, save this for the show. And so Donna, how are you this morning?
You know what? I am good. I'm feeling fresh.
Awesome. Yeah. It's we're happy to have Donna back. She, as you guys know, she's been in the wilds of New York winning elections for people. And so she is back, and I tried to kind of wade in talking about, you know, less disturbing matter than Aaron Bushnell, but got to Mitch McConnell and who's going to take his place, and it's like, it's a circus over there, you know?
Yeah, but they're just gonna replace McConnell with another, you know, ringleader.
Of course.
You know, and nothing to see really there. I don't think that, you know, New York Times busted in with like a whole breaking news thing.
Yeah, ain't nothing spectacular, yeah, it's going to be some old white man. I predict that.
Yeah, and he will do the same things that the others have done.
Right. Same, another mediocre white man.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, to Aaron Bushnell, I've tried figuring out what I did know prior to last night was that Mr. Bushnell was in the Air Force, and he had decided to do this most extreme protest by lighting himself on fire. And so the first thing, of course, that everybody says is, oh, mentally, you know, he's mentally challenged. He's got some kind of, mental disorder. And you know, this is what I was telling Donnie yesterday. I'm like, look at mass shootings, which are overwhelmingly perpetrated by young white men. They are so commonplace now that you don't even hear about them all. Yeah. Or if you do, it's kind of like the background noise. It's like, it's something that the United States has accepted as, oh, well, just one of those things.
Right.
Second Amendment. And so the people who are committing the mass shootings now, you used to hear their names, and then people decided, well, that's we don't want to hear their names anymore because it's encouraging other people to say to do these things to get notoriety, and so we're going into this tunnel where you've got all the mass shootings, which I wouldn't be surprised if there's one a day because they're so commonplace now. And so how do you raise the stakes on notoriety in order to put out your thoughts or feelings about something horrific that's going on. And I suppose, and this is only speculation on my part, I suppose this young man, you know, thought very carefully about what kind of protest he was going to do, and landed on now I can't say the word. He set himself on fire. Immolation. I said it earlier.
Yes.
All right. So tell us your thoughts on that, Donna, because I know you have many.
Okay. So first of all, I want to be clear that I am capable of understanding that it is possible that this young man was not suffering from any type of acute mental illness. Mm-hmm. I am qualifying the type of mental illness because I do believe that because we have created the most miserable, you know, the most enslaved, miserable, pointless society possible. Mm-hmm. For ourselves, that there is simply no way to be well-adjusted, as the quote goes, to a profoundly sick society. It is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And so by virtue of that line of thinking, I would put every single person, like the people who are walking around thinking, well, I made it. You know, I sit atop a mountain of skulls. Mm-hmm. But I made it. And too bad for them because they couldn't figure it out.
Right.
Too bad for them because they couldn't get over childhood trauma. Too bad for them because they couldn't get over raised in a cult. And I'll come back to that, put a pin in that one. So what you need to know about Aaron Bushnell is that he was raised in a cult.
Yes.
And I don't read the New York Post, but they were the first place that I saw that. And then I saw an NPR, and you guys can go and Google this stuff. Mm-hmm. There's an NPR article and an interview with Amy Goodman where one of his good friends said that he didn't believe that it was suicide. Now, this was another individual that was also a conscientious objector. What I'd like for the listeners to be careful of is making summary judgments based on the fact that someone's behavior aligns with a belief or something that you support.
Okay.
So because we are so vehemently opposed to this public genocide, if someone were to do something that we would normally consider tragic,
right,
in the service of that matter, are we rubber stamping the self-immolation of a 25-year-old healthy young man with much to give in our society? In the context of Gaza, there's 40,000-50,000 people that have been murdered. Some numbers say 30. Some are as high as 60. And so this individual says, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill myself publicly, right? And he did kill himself. Like, that's that. You cannot subtract that from this equation. It was suicide. And Edgar, I see you, and I'm coming. But we are now going to rubber stamp that and say, this is a good thing. He was brave. When normally you see, if you or anyone you know is contemplating suicide, please call. And so we're not doing that. We're saying we're memorializing him as a martyr. And I'm not sure about that. And I'm not getting on my soapbox and putting my flag in the sand. I'm saying, where is the discourse?
Yeah.
That is dangerous. And over again, I noticed that in our society, big things happen. Mm-hmm. Serious things, seismic things. And we don't discuss them. We take our respective sides.
Yeah.
And we go about our business. And that, my friends, is how QAnon happens. Okay?
Exactly.
That is how, like, the wacky stuff. Literally, I'm going to quote Trump here and say, on both sides. Because I know how that sounds, right? Like, don't at me, please. But because, and that's the extent of where I am. And I'd like for you guys to take that away.
All right. Let's talk to Edgar in Seminole Heights. Hi, Edgar.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Yes, I am definitely, really not so much intrigued, but really moved by what happened to Ariel Bushmell. And, I can't help not to think about the comparison to what happened in Vietnam, too, also, and taking the religion of Buddhism and what they did back then. But we also have to realize that, in most part, it is a religion that, even at times of peace, even at times at war, they pray for humanity overall. And there's preparations within that religion, within that way of life, to doing things like this. And that's why it was definitely impactful when that happened and the images of that. Not only that, even when it happened when China was trying to, almost genocide the whole Tibetan society, and a lot of that also happened back then. So yes, the idea of a martyr, the idea of, seeing this particular case as, a heroic act gets confusing sometimes, mm-hmm. but it also makes us aware of how long all of this has been going on. The idea of colonization, the idea of extermination or the genocide, and even when we talk about, people that had lived in peace and prayed, the antenna of the world of prayer and peace still are being invaded and still, have caused in the history, have been, in many ways colonized.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe that, there are theories right now, and people are reported that that you had full access to military security. So, we don't know what he knows, but for the most part, some of us, especially being in the art world and studying a little bit about Buddhism, that it's a preparation. It's a whole life commitment to give your life, knowing that you have already committed yourself
mm-hmm.
sanity. So I don't know if there's anything there to compare there, but I think it's an interesting topic in the sense of how it should make us aware of how long this has been going on within humanity. And maybe that's too existential, but, that's what we're here for. That's why, somehow or another, we're faced with what's going on right now, so that we can really, really, really not so much act on the present moment, which is what a lot of Buddhism and philosophy believes in, but also act on somewhat what are the atrocities that have happened, in the past, for us to be able to, get closer to that idea that, compassion, love, and equal value to humanity is extremely important. So I don't know if there's anything there, but I think it's just an interesting topic to see how we are looking at this as, insanity or a self-sacrificing, act.
Right.
Created an awareness mm-hmm. that we should have,
Right. Thank you so much for calling in, Heather. I appreciate your thoughts on this.
Thank you so much. All right. You are listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can email to dj@wmnf.org. And we are talking about the young man who set himself on fire in front of the Israeli consulate. And let's see. I have an email from Greg, and it says, last July, we were averaging 2 mass shootings a day. Exactly. Exactly my point. It's like, you can't get attention anymore.
You can't.
By being a mass shooter.
No. I appreciate that point of view, because I hadn't thought of that before you guys said it. For me, when we look at this, we say, that's sensational, right? Mm-hmm. That's an amazing thing. Yeah, but only for about 14 seconds until the next, outrageous things happen. When everything is on a 10,
right,
what stands out? Where's Mount Fuji?
Well, yeah, and that's exactly right. It's like the bar for getting recognition for anything is so high now in the age of Kardashians and all that kind of stuff.
So let me for people who may have missed this, right? Because it depends on what type of news you consume. Sometimes if you get your news from social media, you would miss this. And increasingly, people who get tune into mainstream media miss a lot of these stories.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this was in the New York Times and CNN, but let me just walk you through this. Give me 10 seconds before we go to the next caller.
Okay.
DeAndre and Simon, we see you. We'll get to you here in just a second, so stay with us. Dressed in his U.S. Air Force uniform, this is from the, I believe, the New York Times. Dressed in his New York uniform, Aaron Bushnell walked up to the Israeli embassy in Washington one afternoon this week and calmly described his intention. And there you can see the video is linked. They have, you know, made it suitable for human consumption there. Described his intention to engage in extreme act of protest against Israel's military offensive in Gaza. He proceeded to pour a flammable liquid over his buzz cut head, pulled his camouflage cap tightly over his forehead, and lit himself on fire. "Free Palestine," he shouted several times before collapsing onto the cement. In the days since his stunning act, which Mr. Bushnell captured on a live stream on Twitch, which is what a lot of younger social media users are using now, friends and relatives have been trying to understand how a young man they once knew as a shy, thoughtful boy in an isolated Christian community in Massachusetts went on to become a senior airman working on cyber defense in Texas, came to mount such a final fatal protest.
Wow.
So that's, if you weren't abreast of that, now you're here with us.
Yeah.
We're all together here in this. And so what we're litigating here this morning is whether or not this young man may have been suffering from other things. He was raised in a Christian cult, a very isolated community. Not a lot gets out, and we know that the bedrock of cults are secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And in a secretive environment, the vulnerable are often abused, and then they have nowhere to turn for support with the trauma that they've experienced.
Right.
One article that I read said people often go from one high-control environment to another. And so a lot of those kids come out of that cult, and they go into the military, a lot of them. And perhaps the young people that were speaking out on Aaron's behalf posthumously were also young people who had transferred out of that situation and into another. Now, before I take off, before we go to DeAndre, is DeAndre? Simon first. Before we go to Simon, I want to remind you all of River Phoenix. Now, there's two words for what happened. One is like auto something that, you know, you set yourself on fire. And then the other is self-immolation, which is any type of death that you do publicly, right? So you could run yourself through with a samurai sword publicly, and that would be called self-immolation.
Wow.
It's not just... Yeah. I worked in a psych unit in Denver Health, and I've seen a lot of things, right? A man cut his hand off with the samurai sword. He
Gosh.
Had a suicide pact with his girlfriend. He cut his hand off. He didn't want the hand back on. He got into a fight with the nurse where the hand was ripped off again.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. So, you know, I've seen some things. I'm, like, hard to shock here.
Yeah.
Like most of the American public, to be honest, right?
We're so desensitized to any kind of
well,
things
I would
like that.
Consider River Phoenix to be a parallel story. A lot of you might think that's a reach, but he grew up in a cult. He left one high-control environment for another, which was Hollywood.
Yeah.
For a child, that's a high-control environment. We see how a lot of these kids turn out. And he died publicly of a drug overdose outside of the Viper Room in Hollywood.
Well, I think the difference between the two is I don't think River Phoenix planned to be dying that
night. I don't think he planned it. But the impact on the mind of the lookers-on is to see a person of talent simply die.
Yeah.
And there was one philosopher that I follow, and I'll tell you his name in a second, on Instagram last night that said that it's basically what you saw was a young white man who could not figure out how to absolve himself. This is a very strong paraphrase. Absolve himself of white guilt, of colonial activities around the world. And he was looking to burn that guilt and absolve himself and other white men. And he said that the same way Aaron Bushnell set himself aflame in front of the Israeli embassy, that the Americans will burn themselves at the altar of their servitude to Israel.
That's some deep.
It's out there. But it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Like, yeah. I don't know if I believe it or not. Right. I don't know if this kid was, you know, a man of purpose or if he just wanted to die and thought, hey, you know, this is a good way to do it. I don't know. But my conversation is rooted in the fact that I don't see people asking.
Yeah.
That's bothering me.
Right. And you don't hear it all a buzz either. So it's like, what is going on? What are we so desensitized now to shock value that we just can't be shocked anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah. So Dr. Maria Cole, our fourth host, is joining us. How are you, Dr. Cole?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm looking at your James Baldwin wallpaper there.
It's actually an original piece of artwork by a local artist, fiber artist here in Palm Beach.
Very nice. So we're talking about Aaron Bushnell and his act of protest in front of the Israeli consulate in Washington. And we got two people on hold, so we're going to go to Simon first.
Okay.
Hi, Simon.
Hi, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
When I was thinking of the young man in the self-immolation, a form of protest, the first thing I thought about was the Arab Spring in Tunisia, form of protest. And I asked someone, why didn't the Arab Spring ever come to the people in Gaza? And so when you think of this conflict, part and parcel to the unfortunate deaths of people during war is that the ultimate objective is to end the war. And I don't see the energy that people are out there protesting and say, very candidly, Hamas, surrender. Free all the hostages, end the war. It is that simplistic. But if you're going to use a different mode of self-immolation, I'll inject the word martyr, because Sinwar just came out, the head of the leader in Gaza of Hamas, basically stating that he has no qualms, I'm paraphrasing, he has no qualms about civilian death. And so the conflict to me is that people want peace, but within achieving that peace, there are words being injected as to the authenticity of colonization or settlers or 75 years. Or instead of Hamas being recognized as terrorist, resistance. All this language, when if the intersectionalists, the women would say, why aren't you objecting to the rape of women in general? Why aren't people objecting to holding a 9-month-old hostage? Why not just surrender, free all the hostages, and end the war?
All right. All right. Thanks so much for calling, Sam.
Simon.
Yeah,
you need to
Donna's got her sound on her computer. Now, there you go. Thank you. All right, DeAndre and Brandon. Hi, DeAndre.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for conversing over this. I think I am definitely guilty of, like, the rubber stamp thing. Mm-hmm. It hit me hard. I mean, just like you saw this young man do this. I mean, my goodness. But you also pointed something out that I think is terribly critical to a lot of this, which is when you have basically something that someone would do like that, that's akin to, so somebody who's suicidal, you have to worry about them being homicidal, right? That's real. That's something you have to reach out to others about, try to convince that individual, et cetera. Like, that's important to acknowledge and try to address. I know he was trying to engage in political speech, and it really touched me. It hurt me, actually, because it's so sad. But there is some, like, continuity between that. And personally, I believe, and I hope I don't get any flack for this, but where we see gang violence or where we see Klan activity or where we see any of this, especially if you bring that homicidal potential for somebody who is so desperate or in despair. So I think this is a very important conversation to be had because its links are very virulent as far as for, like you were saying, you have these two or maybe a couple or three social structures where people tend to migrate one from the other. And when there's that, what I want to call maybe cognitive dissonance, if not something quite similar, these sorts of reactions from people are highly potential. And so I just wanted to say thank you for speaking on this. And I'm pretty hurt that this young man went to that link because he felt voiceless or he wasn't taught what words were available to him. And I think that goes for the whole of society. And, thank you, guys.
Thank you, DeAndre. All right, let's see. Fran in Largo. Hi, Fran.
Hi. Yes, when I think about this young man, I think the act that he did was from the purity of his heart. When you consider how other suicides, why the reasons people have done it. Remember when they'd always say after the big stock market crash that the millionaires jumped out of the skyscrapers? They did that because they knew they were going to be poor. And that's what a shallow reason, really, to end your life. It was just over money. Or, I just can't think of his name now, but it's just recently. That awful guy with that island with all those teenage girls. What was his name?
Oh, Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes, yes. And they said he killed himself in jail. He knew what he was facing, endless years in prison. But this young man that set himself on fire, in my mind, he did this out of the purity of his heart. And that's what I think. Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Fran. All right. You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 Surly Voices. And we are talking this morning about Aaron Bushnell and his act of protest of the war in Gaza. Let me slip in the surly disclaimer while we're here. The opinions expressed on Surly Voices are those of Surly Voices and not those of WMNF Tampa 88.5. Yeah, because I have got a bombshell thing to say, but I'm going to save it for a little while. Let's talk to Chris in Clearwater. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling about Aaron Bushnell, though first I'd like to respond to Simon. Hamas is an instrument of Israel, and You have plenty of evidence to show that former Israel Prime Minister Ehud Barak being interviewed by CNN saying that Israel built the bunkers under Al-Shifa Hospital 5 decades ago. And Israel admits that it killed its own at the Nova Music Festival, where the Apache helicopters were killing everyone, regardless of whether they were hostages or not. Benjamin Netanyahu, 2019, Israel must support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas. That's a quote from, I set up a blog on this, and it goes through all this and much more that I just mentioned. I do want to comment on Aaron Bushnell, but if you want to check out that blog, it's on the blogs page at theliberationstation.com. Entitled Evidence That October 7th, 2023 Attack on Israel by Hamas Was an Inside Job. Basically, as folks may already know, that Hamas was set up as a more radical counterbalance to Hezbollah, where Hamas was always militant and Hezbollah was not, and that's why Israel has supported it. And Netanyahu's Likud party. Aaron Bushnell, he was certainly in a moral crisis, but it's exceptional that he wanted both his suicide and his suffering to not be in silence. Despite the pain to himself and his friends and his family, he dared to do it out in the open and to not be in vain, which I'm sure it will not be. As Simon mentioned, Mohammed Bouazizi, who self-immolated, that sparked in Tunisia the Arab Revolution, Arab Spring. Aaron's life was vital with purpose, and his physical death, I'm sure, will similarly inspire life-affirming purpose in others. And that's what the warmongers fear the most, is that we're going to find so much more purpose by this. But at the same time, I don't condone suicide. I understand that those who commit suicide, from my own spiritual insight, that they live often in experiencing those, having those experiences that they otherwise would have had, and not be able to do anything about them or observe situations that they had planned out to, their higher self had planned out to take care of, but they can't intervene, or even the simplest thing as an itch, they're not able to scratch and things like that. So I pray that kind of those kinds of spiritual obstacles can be overcome. Having had a brother who committed suicide, and learning that he was in despair, but he's had a lot of spiritual healing to where he hasn't had to go through what I just described. And as an observer of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, I've learned many of the truths in it before finding the book. I hope that people will join me in praying that Aaron Bushnell not be distracted by lesser lights. He merges with a singular clear light, God union, and not be confused as he was in his life. I feel like his suicide is an irredeemable act. And I think that's more important than even stopping the conflict that's going on here. Each soul is so precious, although his life will certainly have a purpose.
Right.
And that's why I see so many people like Laura Loomer saying that he was an Islamic terrorist. He didn't terrorize anybody. He was terrorized himself.
For sure.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much for calling, Chris.
Thank you.
All right.
Before we go to another step, we have quite a bit of time left here. I agree with Chris, and I wanted to highlight something he said about this is an opportunity for us to examine the way that we're being with each other and with the planet. I think that moment shouldn't be missed. And perhaps, because we are so desensitized, as we said before, we're not really getting excited about anything anymore because everything is on 10.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a moment, and people are saying, oh, there's Vietnam, and, self-immolation has moved the needle. I don't recall that that's how the Vietnam War ended at all. Like, people are really rewriting this thing and doing some revision stuff around it because they are moved.
by this sacrifice. And I, too, am moved by the sacrifice. But I am not going to put my brain out to pasture and not ask questions about the conditions that we're forcing young people to live in. We often make these, like, half jokes about young people this and young people that. But the reality is we've handed them a rat's nest. That's a real
100% thing. 100%.
Yeah. It's so hard now for like young adults, and young adults, I mean like 18 to 30.
To 40.
To 40.
45. Like youth, it used to take, the biologists say it takes an adult human, a human child, 20, 18 years to finish growing and mature, and then another 5 or 6 years to complete development, physical right. development. Socially, in this society,
it's not even physical. It's the emotional.
Takes 40 years.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Mike in Sarasota. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I'm here. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
So pleased to hear you on the radio. And I wasn't going to call. Had no interest in calling. I've just been sick to death about all this complete Gaza mess and.
Glad you're here.
Everybody trying to explain it away, and everybody trying to rationalize and blunt the horror of an absolute, total, complete. You know, anyone who calls this a war or a conflict or something, we're way past that. And this whole gun culture now come back to roost, and Biden won't man up and just admit that Putin Yahoo. Just lied through his teeth, and that we're going to give him more arms. That we're not going to be complicit. This stuff is going to come back to us. What goes around comes around. You can't give somebody $1 billion worth of guns, have them go exterminate somebody, and then go, oh gosh, how did that happen?
Right.
While you're licking ice cream.
I got to give Simon his props. Simon, buddy, I hope you're still listening. I give you your props. You finally got me angry enough to call and say, I'm so sad. I am so sad that a grown man who seems to be at least have some sort of mental acuity.
Wait, don't be dissing Simon now. Be nice.
I'm not dissing Simon.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not dissing Simon personally. I'm saying any grown man who has two eyes in his head, you've got to have the courage to face up what's actually happening. There's no way to explain it away and wait a month for a ceasefire and talk about this and talk about that and 50 years ago history and all that. Hey, that's great. Tell that to the kid who just got their eyes blown out yesterday. And I'm so sick of our politicians with all this stall and lie.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all about the money. It all goes back to money, capitalism.
Yeah, and they're going to stall it out until there's, you know, one last person alive, and then it's going to take, it's just so absolutely completely horrible that and here it is unfolding in real time. And what has all our technology got us? Nothing but a witness. Now we get to witness what we're actually doing.
Right.
When I say we, I mean, there's no way that I cannot say that me as an American, my money went for some of that. And something's got to change, because it's not going to be long before you're going to have body bombs and arm malls.
Mm. Oh, God, yeah. Mm.
And we're so sitting ducking. You know, America will typically overreact, and it'll be horrible.
Yeah,
we're going to be, you know, it'll be an excuse to put the complete lockdown state right into gear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these same weapons that we used on everybody else is going to get used on us.
Of course.
We'll behave.
Right.
Anyway, keep up the good work. I'll let you go.
Thank you so much for calling, Mike.
So I'd like to hear from Dr. Cole. We haven't heard a lot.
Yeah. Dr. Cole, what do you think of Simon's suggestion that if Hamas surrenders and they release the hostages, this will all be over with right now?
That's completely dystopian, right? Like, here's the West yet again defining who represents somebody else and their country and their autonomy and their agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
People in Palestine support Hamas because Hamas is supporting their liberation. The situation, I do not understand why people are not acknowledging oppression since 1947, and thinking that all of these things have happened as of October 7th. Like, nobody wakes up one morning and says, right? Like, and I grieve for the hostages. However, let's recognize that there are hostages and prisoners that Israel is keeping. Children that have never done anything, that have never been adjudicated for anything, are in Israeli prisons to this day, right? Like, the one thing that I wish people had acknowledged when there was the prisoner exchange is the number of children, Palestinian children, that were asked to be released by that Hamas had demanded be released mm-hmm. from Israeli prisons. There were children. There were women. Let's stop pretending that this is even a war, because this isn't even equal sides or anything like that. It doesn't exist, right? Like,
we
have labeled Hamas a terrorist organization because it suits us. It suits our narrative, right? Mm-hmm. I have not yet to hear an American politician call Bibi Netanyahu a war criminal. Doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah. Well, I hearken back to the weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? It's like Bush sold a bill of goods up to Congress. It's like, oh yeah, we have credible evidence that there's weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get everybody to sign on, is by, you know, unspooling the narrative that they have created.
So I have a question for you, Dr. Uncle. Why does it matter how we litigate and engage with this story and the narrative around the self-immolation of Aaron Bushnell?
Can you clarify your question for me?
Sure. Why should our listeners care about how people are litigating, how they're thinking about it? We had Fran call in, and Fran said, I think that he did it from the purity of his heart. I'm saying, right, can we get more information on this young man's state of mind?
I'll be the last one to make assumptions about people's motivations and state of mind and things like that. You got to understand that this man was active duty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was getting out in May. He could have left in May.
He obviously has seen some things, mm-hmm. right?
In the cult and in the military.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so in recognition of the things that he's seen, I have to acknowledge that he has had a lived experience where the plight of the Palestinian people have triggered him.
Yes.
Right? Like, I can't imagine what active duty in the Middle East has been for this man.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. So can we acknowledge that and take it into consideration? And I quite frankly, like, we're talking about this young man and his life. And the reality of it is that I never saw it mentioned once on CNN. I never saw it mentioned once on MSNBC. I never saw it mentioned once on network news. Mm. Think about it. We're talking about him and mourning his loss and recognizing what he did. And it doesn't fit the narrative. So how are we talking about it? We're talking about it because we bore witness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
From whatever vantage point, whatever lens of social media we saw and bore witness to it, we're recognizing it for that.
Mm-hmm.
but not a single network mentioned it at all.
And I'm not surprised, because look at what the stories that mainstream media pumps out. They're talking about Trump's latest charges or indictments or sanctions from judges. I mean, the newspapers of today, and I don't know that they ever did cover stories without a slant to them. There's always an agenda behind it, you know?
Well, that's the reason why most recently, now you got to remember, they did not designate Hamas as a terrorist organization until after the criminal justice court declared that there may have been war crimes committed in Gaza.
I have a question for both of you. As mm-hmm. we close out here. Last night I was talking to a friend on the phone, and she said she saw my, it was Nadia actually, and she saw my Facebook post, and she said, I thought nobody was going to say it, right? Like, is this kid okay? This is a child. It's like to us, right? And so, I mean, I have a son that age. And so my first question as a mom is, you know, where's his parents? Like, how do they feel about this, you know, brave martyr, right? How does his girlfriend feel? How does his best friend feel? And this, one of her sons is like really, you know, he's a communist. He's far to the left. And he said that if you're questioning whether or not this was a sacrifice, then you're a Zionist.
That's a bit extreme.
Okay, but that's how it's working out here in these activism streets nowadays, okay? Like, nobody can get it that there's areas, they're not two boxes, folks.
Right.
Where in one box you say, was he okay? And then you're a Zionist, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another box where you say, this was a stout-hearted effort on the part of a young man who understood the stakes. Okay, so then you're a freedom fighter for the Palestinian cause.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
When do we get here?
There's two boxes and only two boxes. It's like, I think Gretchen Whitmer was encouraging her constituents not to check none of the above on...
We out here!
On the ballots, she's like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. Well, maybe it does now. You know, maybe we're tired of two boxes and only two boxes. You'll take what you like. Or no, wait, how's it go? You'll get what I give you and you'll like it.
And you know what? We've been fighting like to get off the binary, all sorts of binaries.
Right.
For the last 15 years and we end up here?
Yeah. Make it make sense. But yeah, let's see.
We got emails?
Nope, I think we could. Well, no, there were some that Chris sent links. Thank you, Chris. I always read your links. Let's see. I see this man as a hero, sacrificing his life in hopes of changing U.S. policy and stopping the genocide. It is sad. Our government is so screwed up. People feel helpless to make changes through other channels. I don't know that he's a hero. It's like without knowing somebody's motivations and yeah, on the face of it, he says, I'm doing this in protest. But I mean, is there something else behind it? We really need to devote we need to come one Saturday and just have like a marathon show, I think. But anyway, Frank has given me the finger, and so it's time for us.
It's 11 o'clock.
Yep, time for us to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us, and meet us back here on next Thursday at 10 a.m.
Thank you.
I like like stunning. I like shining. I like million-dollar deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula. I put rocks all in my watch.
This is WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned.